Our readings from this morning situate us in the second Sunday of Lent, the 40-day sojourn to Holy Week. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and yes, Easter Sunday. The cross, the tomb, the resurrection. Our first reading is from the book of Genesis. Abram is filled with doubt and with worry. Abram, who had left his home country on God's command to go with the promise of abundant blessing and prosperity. Abram went through it all and yet still had no heir. So when God comes to Abram in a vision, Abram asks some clarifying questions to God. How, God, will you exactly make this whole thing happen? His faith in God was strong, so strong enough to know that God could handle his questions and his doubts. And in return, God responds not with punishment, but with abundance, with just how much his family will be blessed. In our gospel reading, tells of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city where the prophets of the past have more often than not been ignored, reviled, and killed. These readings place us squarely in Lent, where we witness Jesus' journey to the cross. For we read that some Pharisees come to Jesus and warn him that Herod was planning to kill him. Jesus was neither surprised nor deterred. This scene highlights very starkly the way that Jesus threatened the political power of his day, the Roman Empire. Listen to how Jesus responds, not with violence, but with courage, vulnerability, love, and also lament. He likens himself to a mother hen longing to protect her brood. Hear now these readings.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all of these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. He said to them, Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. May God understand or bless our understanding of this reading. Thanks be to God.
Brené Brown is a self-proclaimed storyteller slash researcher. A social worker by trade, Brené Brown has become famous in this last decade through her TED Talks and books that tell of her research findings on human connection and human purpose. Her focus has narrowed in on key factors that in our ability that use our ability to connect with one another, vulnerability, courage, empathy, and shame. Her research findings can be boiled down to this, and it may seem quite evident. Connection, she says, neurobiologically, is why we are here. We were made for relationships with each other. This is our purpose. But unsurprisingly, we humans often struggle to live in healthy relationship with each other. She has found that the key to healthy connection is by living, as she says, wholeheartedly. To allow ourselves to be seen by the other and have the courage to be vulnerable with ourselves and the other. Brown talks about the traits in these people who have a strong sense of love and belonging. They believe that they are worthy enough for connection. These folks, she finds, have the following qualities. They have the courage to tell their story of who they are in their whole heart, the courage to be imperfect, and the compassion to be kind to themselves and to the other. They embrace vulnerability. They are willing to say, I love you first, to do something where there are no guarantees, a willingness to invest in a relationship that may or may not work out. She writes that vulnerability is the birthplace of joy, belonging, and love. This may sound all very obvious and maybe even a bit new agey, but actually there's something incredibly wise that I think Brené Brown is drawing out in her research, something that I find incredibly theological and faith-filled. Connection, community, communities where we strive, where people strive to know the love of God and each other. And it's something that sounds like this church works towards in all churches, all communities of faith. We don't just gather in this holy place for a good time. We do it because we find that there is something holy in our relationships with each other. We read in our scriptures today that God calls us to create beloved communities, communities where we find safety and belonging and where we can come together to transform our lives and the world into just places. The other thing I hear when I read Brené Brown's work is that humans struggle to find connection, and we struggle to believe that we are good enough, worthy enough, for human love or even divine love. And this is where I believe we can try to rest for a moment in this season of Lent to acknowledge that we are broken people, but to also look to the one who shows us the ultimate vulnerability, the ultimate fierce love of God through Christ, who came to the earth as a vulnerable baby to an immigrant family in first century Palestine. In our scripture readings for today, we hear stories and acts of vulnerability and courage. In our first reading from the book of Genesis, we hear Abram having enough faith in his relationship with God to basically ask God some follow-up questions on the promises that God had previously made to him. God responds to these questions with a covenant, promising Abram that God will bless him with abundance, with grace, and with love. And in the gospel reading, Jesus stands in the face of fear and threats of violence, He voices for us a profound image of vulnerability, an image that struck me to my core this week. As we heard, Jesus, in his final days on earth, characterizes himself as a mother hen. And what does he say exactly? "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." All this time throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has placed himself wholeheartedly in creation. Growing up as a child of Mary and Joseph, he starts his ministry and continues to reveal himself to his disciples and his followers through miracles and parables, through conversations with women, lepers, tax collectors, through sermons on the plain, through transfigurations on top of mountains. He's been hinting at what's to come, but he is continually met with awe, but more often with resistance. He's faced with challenges at every turn because Jesus, the Messiah, has come with a new paradigm, a new theology, a new political ideology, one that proclaims the first shall be last and the last shall be first, proclaiming a kingdom of God where the poor, the hungry, the widowed, the imprisoned, the orphaned are heirs to this new kingdom. A way of being that, in the face of violence, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." All of this, we know, is disconcerting to the powerful people in Jerusalem, so threatening that the fox, Herod, wants to kill him. Of course, this is not news to Jesus, and we may expect him or anyone to respond with threats of violence with maybe defensiveness or justification. Instead, we read this. Jesus answers with a fierce image of vulnerability. Instead of closing his arms, he opens them wide. His response is vulnerability, courage, protection, but also of lament. An image of a mother hen who so longs to protect her young ones by carefully taking them under her wings, yet also knowing full well that she will be rejected by each and every one of them. Despite our rejection, Jesus, the mother hen, will not let that stop her from fiercely bringing healing and restoration to the world. Now, why the hen as an image? Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopal priest, writes this about Jesus. "Given the number of animals available, it's curious that Jesus chooses a hen. Where is the biblical precedent for that? What about the mighty eagle of Exodus? Or the stealthy leopard of Hosea? What about the proud lion of Judah, mowing down his enemies with a roar? Compared to any one of those, a mother hen does not inspire much confidence. No wonder some chicks decided to go with the fox. But a hen is what Jesus chooses, which, if you think about it, is pretty typical of him. He's always turning things upside down so that children and peasants wind up on top while kings and scholars land on the bottom. He's always wrecking our expectations about how things should turn out by giving prizes to losers and paying the first last. So of course he chooses a chicken, which is about as far from a fox as you can get. That way the options become starkly clear. You can live by licking your chops, or you can die protecting the chicks. In this season of Lent, we know where the story ends up going. We read it every year. Unfaithful, broken people march Jesus to the cross. We march him to his death because we are threatened by his vulnerability, his politics, his theology. This Jesus makes us uncomfortable. Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets, may not look so different from our cities today. Yet we also know it isn't how the story ends. During Lent, we hold two truths in tension more poignantly and more explicitly than any other time of our liturgical calendar. The heartbreak of our brokenness and need for forgiveness on one hand, and on the other, faith and the knowledge that we are already forgiven 1,000 times over. This is the story of our faith. Despite our death-dealing ways, our lack of faith, despite the fact that instead of choosing protection and love by God, we choose self-sufficiency, violence, and fear, our patient God still persists. On the third day, she rises from the grave, is resurrected to once again begin again and again and again. Jesus shows us the kind of courage that we are called to embody as Christians. It's a courage that calls us to stand up for those most vulnerable, to call out the foxes in our midst. A modern-day disciple that so clearly embodies this way of wholehearted living is our very own UCC minister and our colleague, the Reverend Kaji Dosha, senior pastor at Park Avenue Christian Church in Manhattan on the Upper East Side. She's involved with the New Sanctuary Coalition, a recently formed group of faith leaders who endeavor to stand in solidarity with the migrants and refugees at our border. Reverend Dosha does important social action in the city for the rights of undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers. She recently traveled to Tijuana to pray with and advocate for the immigrants seeking asylum. She claims that she follows the call of the prophets before her, to call out governments and societies that refuse to protect mothers, widows, and orphans. She, like Jesus, has been met with resistance from our own government. As she crossed back into the U.S. after her trip to Mexico, she was interrogated for several hours by Customs and Border Patrol about her advocacy work. And recently, leaked documents from Homeland Security show that her passport has been flagged and her global entry card revoked. And how has Reverend Dosha responded? With fierce courage and fierce vulnerability. She has preached the gospel, reminding her church members and all of us that Christ's time as a refugee urges her to stand in solidarity with those most vulnerable, those people seeking refuge, seeking safety. She has placed herself at risk for the poor, the vulnerable, and the Christ in our midst. We know from Brené Brown's research that we are our best selves when we are in community. And what I love about church is that at its best, it has the power to be transformative. Through just communities of connection like this one, we can transform each other and we can transform the world. But we can't do it without God's help as much as we'd like to. God's love, we need God's forgiveness. In these 40 days of journeying with Jesus into the wilderness and to the cross, may we choose vulnerability, connection, drawing strength from our fierce God, our mother hen, our resurrected Christ, whose love for the world and for us is infinite. May we share that love as freely as God gives it. Amen.